Everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you have joined us today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live, as always, at this time on Sunday afternoons, 4:30 in the Tampa area. And you can catch us on 1340 AM, as some of you probably have right now, or you can also go to your computer. And you can actually see us in the studio, and that is www.tantalk1340.com. And then push the listen button and you'll find us. So however you have found us today, we are glad you have, because today is going to be a fantastic day. It's going to be a day that some of you out there are going to get released and healed from physical ailments and problems in your body. This is a day of healing, and we praise God for that. We had a tremendous service this morning at Beacon of Hope here in Clearwater, and God's anointing was very strong, and we prayed for the sick, anointed them with oil, and we believe God for the manifestation, total manifestation of the healing in the bodies of those that we prayed for today. You can be one of those. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is Hebrews 13, verse 15. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus did when he walked this earth was heal bodies and cast out demonic spirits, and all of that followed him teaching the word. He taught the word, he healed bodies, and he cast out demonic spirits. Everything that Jesus did then, he is still doing today. In fact, it says in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, that we greater things than he did will we do, because there's greater number of us here scattered around this planet now that believe that Jesus Christ does want to heal your body today. We believe that at Beacon of Hope. We welcome you to come to our services. We have a great interactive Bible study on Wednesday nights. It is a wonderful time for you to come and ask your questions, bring your Bible and a notebook, and get into the Word with us. And we welcome you to do that on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock for prayer meeting. Actually, I think we start right at 6:15. And then we follow that up with our Bible study at 7, get out about 8:30. And so we welcome you this Wednesday night. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us. Bring your Bible and let's discuss all of this about what God says about healing for your body. We believe that Jesus Christ is the healer. And we're going to be talking about that in detail today. We're going to be teaching it, and we're going to be discussing it with our special guest that will be coming on in a little while. So we are glad that you have joined us, and we've got some great music today. We believe that Jesus Christ is the power to set you free from whatever is going on in your life right now that's dragging you down. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to come into the homes and the cars of those that are tuning in to this broadcast right now. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, because we know that your word is what sets us free. It is your word that gives us life. In fact, your word says in Psalms that your word has revived us and given us life. Your word has revived us and given us life. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we are in agreement with what your word says today, God, concerning healing for our physical bodies. And Lord, those that have tuned in that have problems, that are sick, that have diseases that have been diagnosed, or are in pain right now, or in some kind of physical problem or emotional problem, that are in some form of dis-ease, that are in disease, whatever it might be. Lord, we declare and claim that today is their day of healing. Today is their day of miracle. Today is their day to be set free from the junk that would pull them down and discourage them. So God, I thank you right now for your word. I thank you for the music that's going to just lift our spirits and bring us a further revelation of who you are through the music today. Through the discussion, God, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name, and praise you for all that's going to be done here in the next few moments. Carol from Georgia is going to be my guest today. Carol, if you are listening right now, which you probably are, I'm going to ask you to call in a little earlier than what we had discussed. I want you to call in about a quarter till five, all right? And she can't answer me right now because I can't talk to her on the phone. I'm telling her that across the airwaves right now. So we're glad you've joined us today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located in Clearwater, Florida on Almerton right now. Actually looking for a new building, and we are believing God for that space, and that would happen soon, and we will let you know when that happens. So let's start right off with a song by Carmen. He has been one of my favorite artists for a very long time. This song is The River. Listen to the words.
Doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what the scar, it doesn't matter what the sin, it doesn't matter how you fell, somewhere along the way, there is healing for your life today. There's a river that flows from the fountain of God, and it heals everything along the way. I have tasted and know that for every broken heart there is healing in Jesus' name. Looks beyond how far you've gone. He looks beyond when you were hurt. He looks beyond who stole your song. He looks beyond what made it worse. He looks beyond where others failed to reach out to you and say, there's healing for your life today. 'Cause there's a river that flows from the fountain of God, and it heals everything along the way. I have tasted and know that for every broken heart there is healing in Jesus' name. It's a river that loves, it's a river that lives. It's the river of life, living water it gives. There's a river that flows from the fountain of God, and it heals everything
Amen. I love that song. There's healing in Jesus' name. We agree with that. The words of Carmen from that song right now. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Get your Bible and let's look and see what Jesus said. Jesus was going about doing good. Acts 10:38 says, "And we know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with power and authority and how he went about doing good." What did Jesus do? He healed bodies, right? We do not find Jesus saying, "No, I just want you to keep that sickness or that disease. I want you, if you have a notebook, start taking some notes because we're going to make some points here that are going to help you get your physical healing today." Go with me to Matthew and Mark at the same time. Mark chapter 1, and I want you to look with me at verse 29 in your Bible. Mark 1:29. And it's talking about Jesus and what he was doing. It says, "Directly on leaving the meeting place," they were at church, "they came to Simon and Andrew's house." Now, Simon and Andrew were brothers. Simon was Simon Peter. At this point, they were calling him Simon. Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Now, these were the disciples that had just gotten on board with Jesus. Actually, Jesus had found them fishing, and he says, "Come on, come with me, and I'll teach you how to catch men and women." Instead of perch and bass, it actually says in the Message Bible. In fact, I'll read that to you. That is Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Jesus says to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you." And by the way, that's what God wants to do in your life today. "I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. Did you know that Jesus is still saying the same thing to you today that he said to the disciples clear back then? And that is, "Come with me. Let me show you how to catch men and women. Let me show you how to change lives for the kingdom of God. Let me show you how to lay hands on people and see their bodies be healed." So now we go over to verse 29 of Mark 1. And so they've just left the meeting place, the place of worship, and they go to Simon and Andrew's home. And Simon's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was sick in bed, burning up with fever. Now, some of you might be able to relate to that. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you've been very, very sick with a flu and you've had a terrible fever. And Peter's mother-in-law was very, very ill. And they told Jesus, and he went to her. Now, first of all, if you're taking notes, make this point. Write it down. God will meet you at your place of need. He will do it. Jesus went to her. Okay? It doesn't say here that Jesus started giving them a lecture of, "Oh, well, Peter, your mother-in-law has done this, this, and this, and so I don't want to get involved here because your mother-in-law is getting what she deserved." You know, unfortunately, there are people out there, and probably it was preached today from some pulpits in this world, that people get what they deserve and that sickness is a punishment of God put on people. And when Carol comes on, we're going to talk about this. This does not come from God. And Simon's mother-in-law had a burning fever, but Jesus did not say, "Well, lady, I can't help you because you brought this on yourself because you did this and this and this to cause it." Now, instead, here's what Jesus says to her in about verse 29-30 of Mark 1. Jesus says, he goes to her and he takes her hand. He touches her. He takes her hand and he raises her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. Now, this is an immediate miracle. She was so sick, she was in bed with a hot fever. But yet, when Jesus reaches his hand out to her and touches her, he raises her up, and she is not just gradually going to get better here. She has an instantaneous miracle. And it says that he took her hand and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. I mean, this is a miracle. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, burning up with fever, and Jesus touches her and raises her up, and the fever leaves her body. I want you to look at verse 32 of Mark 1. That evening, that's the same evening of this miracle with Peter's mother-in-law, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil afflicted people to him. To who? To Jesus. They brought them to Jesus. And that's what we're doing right now today on this broadcast. Hopefully, if you are one of these that is sick and diseased in your body, that you are running to the anointing. You are running to Jesus right now for your healing. These sick people started coming to him because word began to spread that Jesus was in town and that he was healing bodies. And it says here, and I love this phrase in the Message Bible, the whole city lined up at his door. The whole city lined up at his door. Wow. Now, that means that sickness and disease touches everyone, doesn't it? It touches every one of us in some form. It says the whole city lined up at the door. It didn't say that there were just a few sick people over here. Sickness and disease has the ability to touch every family, does it not? And at some point in your life, you faced it. If you haven't, you will, because it's part of the aging of our physical bodies. And it says here that Jesus cured their sick bodies. Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't stand there and lecture them on all the things they had done wrong to bring on the sickness or the disease. It simply says in Mark chapter 1, about verse 32, he cured their sick bodies. What's that mean? He healed them. And tormented spirits, those that were really tormented by demonic oppression, Jesus released them from the bonds of that demonic oppression. And it said the demons knew his true identity and he didn't even let them talk to him. Okay. And let's go on down to verse 40 of Mark 1. And Jesus has gone out to preach and a leper comes to him. And I taught on this leper this morning, but I've got to bring it back around again because it's so important here that we make this point. The leper comes to Jesus. Number one, the leper should not have been out of the leper colony because when these people had leprosy, this was so much worse than anything like AIDS. They were banished to a place just for lepers. They could not live with their families. They could not, hold down a normal job. They were a part of a leper colony. Now, somehow this leper got out of that colony, heard about Jesus, and comes to Jesus. Boy, he was bold. He comes to Jesus boldly. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'm not even going to be able to get to Jesus because look at me. I've got this leprosy all over me. This leprosy was apparent if you had this. It was obvious. Your body turned white and scaly and it was nasty, ugly, awful looking stuff. And this leper comes to Jesus and he begged on his knees and he said to Jesus these words, if you want to, you can cleanse me. That's what the leper said. If you want to, you can cleanse me. You can do it if you want to, Jesus. I know you can. What is that? What do you see right there? You see faith, don't you? The leper knew that Jesus could make him well. One of the things you need to write down on your paper is Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to heal your body. It's not about Jesus making you pay for some past indiscretion. And that's why he wants you to have disease and sickness. Jesus never wants you to suffer with sickness or disease. Get that down. Write it down. Get it somewhere. Jesus never wants you to suffer with sickness and disease. That is not his will. What is his will? Write this down. It is God's will to heal my body. Okay? It is God's will to heal my body. God wants to heal me. And 1 John 5:14-15 says this. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15 says this. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will. We know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have the requests that we have asked from him. Now, first of all, we've got to have it settled down on the inside of us that it is God's will to heal our bodies. We've got to have that settled, because the devil is a liar, and the devil will come to you and say, oh, that's okay. You know, God put this sickness on you. The devil loves to blame sickness and disease on God. God has no cancer in heaven. God has no leprosy in heaven. God has no heart disease that he just pours out of a basin from heaven and sprinkles it on whoever he thinks has been bad. That is not the God we serve. And if that is part of your belief system, that whole thing that God punishes with sickness and disease, then you need to get that clear and straightened out in your mind. And in your spirit, God does not put sickness and disease on people. The devil does. John 10:10 says this. Write this verse down. John 10:10 says, and this is the words of Jesus. Jesus says this. The thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. I would agree with what the word says on John 10:10, wouldn't you? Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. Okay, now abundant life includes healing for your physical body. Jesus also said, let me tell you who puts that yucky stuff on you. That is Satan, because John 10:10 says the thief comes. Satan is a thief. He wants to destroy your peace of mind. If you've been given a bad diagnosis of cancer or something else, what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to destroy your peace. He's trying to take your peace away from you. And he's trying to take any kind of assurance that God loves you away from you. Because if you think that, well, God's just doing this, putting this disease on you to pay you back for some awful thing you've done, then you're not going to trust that God is a loving God and that he loves you and cares about every detail of your lives. No, you're not. Now, here's what happened to the leper. The leper comes to Jesus, and I am still in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. The leper comes to Jesus and he says, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Now, that is faith. The leper comes and says, Jesus, I've heard about you. I know that you have the ability to do this. Do you want to? Because if you want to, I know you can make me whole. Now, let's get this settled, dear listener. Jesus wants to heal your body. It's not a question of whether or not he wants to. No, it's not. It is not. We can prove to you in the scripture that Jesus came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And it also says in James chapter 4, 7 and 8, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay? The devil is the one with the bag of tricks that's so full of sickness, disease, pain, suffering, depression, anxiety, fear. All of that is what the devil brings to the table. What Jesus comes with is life, and he gives it to you abundantly. So look with me at Mark 1:41. Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand. There he is, using his hand again. And that's why we lay hands on the sick, because the word says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 1:41, Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, I want to be clean. Wow. In the Message Bible, that's only five words. Five is the number for grace. Jesus said, I want to be clean. And I say to you right now, no matter what sickness, disease, ailment is working in your body, Jesus wants to heal you now. Be made whole. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I want to be clean. Then and there, the leprosy was gone. Now, this is just an incredibly wonderful miracle. People standing around had to see this man's whole skin from the top of his head to the soles of his feet turned back perfectly normal. Instantaneous miracle. This was not a gradual healing. Sometimes we see those. This was not that. This was an instantaneous miracle. Every cell of the leper's body suddenly was made whole. Wow. His skin was smooth and healthy. Jesus dismissed him with strict orders. Don't tell anybody. And the reason Jesus did that is because he wanted more time to be able to go to the villages and areas around to teach the word. That is what he wanted to do. Praise God for that. We're going to change up our order a little bit here, and we're going to go to the next song. And actually, it's one we did last week, and I want to repeat it because it fits in right here. Then we're going to come back for station identification, and Carol will join us. The song is by Aaron Jeffrey, and it is Heal Me. Listen to the words. It is a powerful, powerful song.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. Looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through verse that says you love me, as the voices echo my thoughts drift away, and I close my eyes ashamed, I'm feeling nothing, and I pray back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one my day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on me, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do.
You're tuned to WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel, and KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. And welcome back to Living the Good Life from Clearwater, Florida. And I heard we just have some new radio stations now, Little Rock, Arkansas. All right. We're so glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life. And if you did just join us, we're teaching on healing today. And we're excited about this topic. And my dear friend Carol, are you on the line?
I am here.
All right. All right. I mentioned earlier, maybe you weren't listening right at the very beginning, asked you to call in a little earlier. Maybe you didn't hear.
I guess I didn't. I was actually in reflective contemplation at that point. So
that's all right. That's okay. We are talking about healing today, Carol. And I just got done. Did you hear the part I was teaching about the leper? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and how Jesus wants to heal us. Do you really believe that, Carol, that Jesus really does want to heal us? Or do you think that he does pass out disease and sickness? Where are you coming from?
Well, I'm coming from what today I feel is an anointed word.
As okay.
You much earlier today, I feel that the words today that I will speak, at least, have been given to me by the Holy Spirit. And I speak in truth and honesty and compassion and love and with deep integrity to say that I truly believe in my heart and my soul that there is power over illness and power over fear, and we can take our health into our own hands because we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt in my mind that he is a healer.
Amen.
And I speak from a recent breast cancer survivor.
Right, exactly, which I do want to ask you about in a moment. But, Carol, aren't you aware that in your years of ministry in the church and being a deacon and a lot of ministry positions that you've held through the years, don't you think that there are a lot of people believe that God puts sickness on people to punish them for things? Isn't that a common belief out there?
I think it's a very common belief because some denominations really seem to have pastors who stand up in front of their congregations and put them on a guilt trip
right.
by using that message
right.
as a way and a wage to sin.
Right.
I honestly do believe that it's an incorrect message.
Amen.
I think we should be standing in pulpits and teaching the wondrous work of Jesus Christ through
Amen.
His Father God. And to know that we should be saying positive things to people about him and about their own lives directed and guarded and guided by Jesus through his Father. To always speak a negative is not helping people to understand nor to even accept their place in Christ's kingdom.
Exactly.
Or to relish in the joy of being one of Christ's child.
Exactly. Carol, don't you think that if Jesus wanted to make a point and use sickness to kind of reel people in, you know, wouldn't he have done that when he walked this earth? Wouldn't he have said, you know, I'm going to preach today about how every time you guys are bad, I put something awful disease on you. He never once said anything like that, correct?
Correct. And one thing he never does is put us in time out. You know, quite often, when you've misbehaved or
right.
thinks you've misbehaved, somehow, even from the small child, they put you in time out.
Right.
Sometimes as an adult, that time out stems from being alienated or prejudice falling on your shoulders or whatever it is.
Right.
Satan is a liar.
Yes.
He's going to say whatever he can to defeat Jesus. And we know that it's never going to happen.
Exactly.
But there are people who have not heard that message yet.
Right.
They've probably heard it a million times, but they've never taken it into their own heart.
Right.
I firmly believe that people live in such a plastic world, and it's a me world. It's who has the biggest toys lives to reign forever, and that is not true. You know, we live and reign forever with Jesus Christ when we accept him, allow him to move in our lives, allow his gifts to us to be explored and expounded and expanded.
Exactly.
I praise God for the cancer that I had, and I know that people will hear this message and say, that's one crazy woman. But I'm not, because in the process of receiving the news of cancer to my right breast, I also, for that one just half second, in fact, the way mine was delivered was the most traumatic.
And I do want you to share how you found out that you were sick. I do want you to tell that.
Well, I found out I was ill because I've been a boxer dog aficionado for 56 years now. I've never
right.
been without a boxer dog. And my boxer dog, Floyd, was playing with me and loving me one day. And he put his feet up on my legs, and I was giving him a hug, and he pushed against my right breast. And he snorted and snorted, and he reared back and looked at me in the face and pushed again. Then he took his feet to my right breast as if he were trying to remove something. And I, at that moment, said, I know I have breast cancer.
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed 2 days later as stage 3 breast cancer. And I have been checked every single year.
Right.
For the last 30 years. 2 times a year,
right?
May and October, and this was, I feel, a blessing from God.
Exactly.
That I had it, that I had every faith that I would survive it.
Exactly.
But I didn't feel it a punishment. I felt it was an opportunity to share wherever I would be sent. And I went to Emory Hospital in Atlanta, in Emory Cancer Center, Winship
right.
Cancer Center. Worked with fantastic physicians in Texas. And the compassion in that place, that cancer center, it's written on the walls. It's written on the drapes. It's compassion, healing, power, hope, prayer on the walls.
Amen. And I went there with you one time, and I will attest to that. But I want to, before we go on, I want to ask you about what happened through this treatment. I want to go back to a point here, and I want everybody to really hear this, that people are so quick often to say, God put this awful disease on me, okay? Yet, they will go get chemo, or they will go get radiation, or they'll go get medicine to combat that disease, all the while blaming God for it. Do you understand the, what am I trying to say here?
There are people that do that. The people that say God put this on them, first of all, have no concept of who he is.
Exactly. Yes.
And if they were walking with him hand in hand, if they had made him master and guard of their life as he is, but if they had said, you know, I can't do this big thing in this world anymore. I need you to show me what I need to do and how to do it. Walk with me.
Amen.
And then they would understand it is not a punishment from God. Many, many times in most people's lives, it turns out to be a blessing.
It does.
Families
yes.
are brought closer together.
Well, and we're going to talk about the blessings of that. Hold that thought. In fact, Carol, I'm going to make me a note right here. The blessings of that come from illness. But the point that I want to make, and everybody hear this, is that if God puts the disease on you, then why would you go try to get rid of it by medical means? And I am not in any way against medical means whatsoever. I wanted to be a doctor, and I absolutely believe in medicine, and I believe in chemo, and I believe in radiation and all those things. But the thinking I'm trying to point out here is, if we blame God for the disease, then why do we go take all the medical things to get rid of it? If God wants us to have disease, then why don't we just accept it willingly? You understand my thought
yeah,
process there, Carol?
I think people, it falls to fear.
Okay.
And it falls to lack of faith.
Okay.
Definitely falls to fear and the lack of faith. People go seek anything that they can, any cure-all. And we've had recent reviews of that from people that are renowned and around the world. Farrah Fawcett being one, traveling
right.
out of the United
exactly.
States.
Exactly, go anywhere, yeah.
You know, they will go anywhere and take anything
yes.
that somebody says is the magic potion and cure.
And we're not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No.
We're simply
not saying that, but I'm saying if you believe
right.
that God will heal you, he alone will heal you.
Right.
And he will use the intrinsic services of medicine.
Absolutely.
And doctors. And
yes, he will.
Physicians.
Yes, he will.
And all, even the person who sweeps the floor in your room will come in, and you're standing without realizing it. You are in the presence of an angel.
Yes. And God does that. Doesn't he just bless you
through
it?
After affirmation,
yes.
affirmation, affirmation. Whereas, you know, chemo and things of that sort don't necessarily bring affirmation. They
right.
bring affirmation of a totally different thing, and that's pain.
But God does send people at the right time into our lives. We were having a little discussion after church today around a lunch table, And some of us were talking about how God does see the big picture in our lives. And he puts people in our lives for a reason and for a season a lot of times. You know, the old thing, people are in our lives for a reason, maybe a season or maybe a lifetime. But so often when people are going through really horribly hard things, God has already set it up that there will be a support system around you to help you get through it, right?
I agree with that totally. And our ignorance keeps us, and our lack of faith keeps us from understanding that we have that support system being
right.
sent to us on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, during the entire time that I was in chemo, and that only ended in May of this year of 09.
Right.
The entire time I kept saying, Lord, send me an angel. I just asked for one angel a day. And I wasn't asking just for human beings.
Right.
I was asking for whatever he might send me to let me know that he was mindful of me. Sometimes it would be on the hottest day of the year, there would be just a little rain falling in my yard.
Right.
There might be a bird that I'd not seen previously, a butterfly that came by, a phone call, someone needing my help.
And doesn't all of that take on more importance, more, we notice it when we have been given a difficult diagnosis, right?
Yes.
Life begins to, you do look at the sky and it's bluer. You know, you do look at the grass and you do look at things that you have and begin to appreciate them. The people in your lives that, your life that you know are going to be there with you, you know, through
yep.
it all. And I'm happy to say, Carol, I was one of those that was with you through all of this that you've just gone through over the last year and a half.
Yeah,
and it was a joy to me to be there for you. And but not only that, it showed me just how much God loves us when it comes to putting people in our lives to support us at difficult times.
And I'll tell you something else. I think God uses people who have been diagnosed with some dire circumstance or illness or disease.
Right.
I think he uses those people to bring hope to others.
Yes.
I mean, walking, and you were in that chemo lab at one time, that infusion lab
yes,
with me.
Yes, Emory.
To mm-hmm. see the hopelessness of people who were newly diagnosed.
Right.
Maybe in wherever they were in their treatment, to come in and be hopeless. And what a time it was for me to be able to witness. It is one of the strongest ministries I have ever had.
You know, I remember you, we would talk so often when you would leave Emory, you know, and call me in the car sometimes, you know, when you felt good enough or the next day. And you would tell me stories, Carol, about you sat down beside this one and suddenly this one starts to cry and begins to tell you they've just had this diagnosis. What, I want to know what you felt in your heart, Carol, when that person would begin to open up to you.
I felt truly like I was the angel that I had asked God me.
A good point.
You know, and I thought, you know, they see me going through this.
Right. Losing your hair. You lost all your hair.
All of my hair.
Yeah, and it was beautiful white hair with this funny little braid you had going on. And you lost it all. It came out in clumps, right?
Yeah, and well, it started coming out in clumps after my first chemo, and I said, I'm not putting up with this. You know, I have no vanity.
Right.
When it comes to that, I know that things grow back, and if they don't, that's the way God wanted me, for a purpose and a reason.
Right. You have a ball cap anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, I have a dozen ball caps, or probably more than a dozen. But I did not have a bad feeling about it at all.
Yes.
I knew it was a time in a ministry. I've been praying for God to send me a ministry.
That's
that
right.
That I could be as useful to other people as he was to me. That
right.
I did not want to in vain study and call on him and worship him and praise him and never give it away. You see, your faith is only as good as what you give away.
Amen, sister. Why do we have to give it away?
We have to give it away in order to make it grow in ourselves.
Amen.
And to grow in other people. And it reaches out to the far ends of the earth.
Amen.
You never know. It's like a teacher's influence. You never know where it's going to begin nor where it's going to end. And I would delight in taking all kinds of Christian tracts that I might have access to, and the daily bread and daily words and things, and put them on the table in the waiting rooms. And at first people were a little scared, and and, you know, to take them. It was like they wanted to take them, but they didn't want to be seen taking them. And I just would start talking because there's nothing quieter than a infusion lab waiting room.
Right, exactly.
And I would just start talking, and I would say things like, isn't it a wonderful day today, a great day to be in God's presence? And they would look at me, you know, bald-headed as an onion, look at me and think, where is she coming from? And I say, you know, I praise God for each one of you in here today.
And you would say these things.
Yes, I did.
Listening audience, she's telling you the truth. She yeah, would be that bold.
I really would, because I wanted people to know that I was walking in grace.
Amen.
And mercy.
And that you were walking through the storm, you know, not letting it get to you.
No,
you know?
I was taking my purpose, which was, I feel at that time, to be the minister of God's word to
right,
people who needed to hear it, didn't know how to hear it, didn't know where to find it, and were scared to death.
Right.
And it began that after a while, people started laughing and talking to each other and expressing their joys and their pains and their compassion. We began a camaraderie. We would come in and say, where's Robert? We haven't seen him today. Is he scheduled today? And somebody would say, oh, no, Robert got moved to next week or whatever.
Yeah.
And we became a support system for each other. We laughed. We praised God. And now I'm having people coming up and saying, Sister, do you have any more tracks? I know you left some in the infusion lab, and I'm up on the second floor, and I would want to pick one up. And I said, I'll get you one.
Wow.
And I would send Maxine out to the car to get another track.
Wow.
You know? And then my doctors, too, they kept saying to me, how are you doing this? Why are you laughing in the face of danger and possible death? I said, because death is a joke to those of us who know Jesus Christ.
Amen. Carol, I've just, as you're talking, I am taken back to Psalm 23, and I want to read a couple verses here from Psalm 23, and then I want your comment. And this is in the Message Bible. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side.
Well, you know, the greatest shepherd that ever lived was Jesus.
Amen.
And
he is
the
good shepherd.
You know, I've always been associated with farm animals and things. It's a great love of mine.
Right.
I preached a fantastic sermon, even if I say so myself, on the 23rd Psalm and a shepherd. Because
right,
at that time of my life, I had a shepherd.
Right.
I had a shepherd that walked everywhere with me. I still do have him.
Yes.
But he walked everywhere with me. And
amen,
he saved me from every lie that the devil would try.
Amen.
When I would be fearful to go into the MRI, fearful to have a PET scan, fearful to have upside down in an MRI with my breast hanging through these little tubes.
Right.
They could stick needles in me with no anesthesia, no nothing.
Right.
Except I would just go into a deeper grace. My shepherd took me to a different phase of grace.
Praise
God. I felt
God,
nothing. I felt no pain. I felt no fear because he walked beside me. He did lead me to the still waters, and the still waters were, you know, for me, it was music. It was sitting on my front porch.
Right.
And watching the nature and the life take place, to watch the leaves fall and drop and then change. I knew that life is a changing existence. It does not stay staccato. It is constantly in motion. Therefore, I had to be constantly in motion in my mind to say, where are we going next, Shepherd? Where are you taking me now?
Amen.
Took me to green fields where his people needed to hear his words. And I was the vehicle. I was the vessel of water that day that poured out the living water of Jesus.
Amen. And Carol, there might be some listeners today that have had a bad diagnosis recently or are starting this process of a cancer treatment. And be encouraged out there. God's going to sustain you through it. He's going to give you the words to say. His eye is on you. He cares about you. And I know we played this song last week, but I am not able to get away from it. I took the show track CD and put it in my car as I traveled all week to work. And I have got to play this again, even though it was not supposed to be on this show. Carol, you're going to be blessed by this song. And then stay with me, Carol. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk after this song. His eye is on the sparrow.
Oh, yes. Know it well.
Thank you. feel discouraged. Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart
Praise God. He does watch you, and he knows everything that you are experiencing right now. Carol, was that beautiful or what?
It is a beautiful song, and it's a song that I sang in my head and my heart during the times I was in.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. And the reason I thought that, you know, is because I'm a bird lover. For
right.
One thing, and my yard is filled with feeders for birds.
Yes.
He knows when the wing tip of a sparrow falls or a feather falls. If he knows that about the birds,
amen.
What more does he know about me?
Oh, amen, amen.
And if he cares for the birds and the lilies of the fields, how much more does he care for me?
Amen. Carol, I want to talk about fear in relation to catastrophic disease. If you'll go with me to Isaiah 43, stay with me, Carol. I'm going to teach a few verses here, but I want your input here. Isaiah 43, everybody. And let's start at the beginning of it and go down just through a few verses. This is actually not what I was going to teach on in this segment, but I really felt led during that song. In fact, that song wasn't even scheduled for this show, and I pulled it from last week, as I said a moment ago, not knowing that was Carol's song. So that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to somebody listening today, and Isaiah 43 is for you. Listen to this. But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel. Here's what God has to say to you, dear listener. Don't be afraid. This is God talking. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. Isaiah 43. Join me with your Bible. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, and we know he did on the cross. All of Egypt, with rich Cush and Seba thrown in, that's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade creation just for you. Verse 5 of Isaiah 43, so don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll round up all your scattered children. Pull them in from east and west. I'll send orders north and south. Send them back. I want everyone, every last one who bears my name, every man, woman, and child whom I have created for my glory, yes, personally formed and made each one. This is powerful Rhema word for somebody out there today. God is saying it doesn't matter how bad the diagnosis has been given to you. Don't be afraid. Just trust God in the midst of this crisis, and he is going to set you free and heal your body and minister to you in ways you had no idea. That's what we're talking about here with Carol. God is the authority, and his word is the authority. And Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed you. Healed me, healed all of us of all our destructions. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, he forgives all my iniquities. And the next line, he heals all my diseases. Now, cancer falls in the all. Heart disease falls in the all. Renal failure falls in the all. You know, arthritis falls in the all. He heals all my diseases. No matter what you've been diagnosed with or what you're afraid might be wrong with you, Jesus Christ is your healer. And his Rhema word to us today is, don't be afraid. God is going to be with you. His eye is on the sparrow. And I sing because I'm happy, because I know that God's going to be with me no matter what I go through. He's not going to leave me. I'm taking a breath, Carol. Time for you to comment.
Well, you know, it's really funny about singing, because I've sung in church choirs, and thank goodness there have always been many more voices than mine. I always think I'm making the joyful noise to the Savior. But since I've gone through this, I find myself, even as lately as today, walking around and just singing songs. Songs
Amen.
Of praise, the words that come to my mouth that
yes.
are words that he has given me. They
Amen.
Are not words that are to a scripted song. It's just, I'm grateful for everything.
Amen.
I look out and I see people joyous and happy, and I'm grateful for that. I see people in bad situations, and I sing lamentations for them, that God will be inclined to hear their ears. Last Sunday in a church here in Georgia, I was asked to come in and be the guest speaker for their first anniversary and their children's program. And there was a situation where a lady led us in song, and she said, she started out in a low little rumble, and she said, I don't know how many of you understand this or know this, but she said, we're going to moan today. And we sung in a moaning without even words, just sounds. Just, it was like saying to God, this is where I am.
Uh-huh.
This
yes.
is my misery.
Yes.
And then we became a little more joyous, and this is my joy.
Uh-huh.
And it was words and sounds and things that only God, I'm sure, could have taken to his ear and heard.
Amen.
And it was from the heart of each person sitting there participating.
Amen.
You know, fear is such a paralyzing force in our lives.
It's horrible.
And yet I go to, you know, Isaiah 41, it says, 4:13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you through every single situation.
Amen.
The breast cancer that I went through.
Yes.
I felt that. I would say to him, and I've said it aloud, and it got at first where people were kind of laughing, and then they quit laughing. I would say, okay, Jesus, and here's the deal. I'm scared to death of this machine. You know that I'm
right.
claustrophobic.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take your hand, and you're going to hold my right hand, and we're doing this together. And I would get in there, and I'd say, okay, now listen, you got two people in here. One of them is not the least bit scared, and I said, the other one is not going to be by the time you start the machine. I said, because he knows that I trust him to
yes.
be with me, to be with me, to talk with me, to bring me out of all fear. And, you know, fear helps us to develop some things that are very uncomfortable in our body.
Yeah, it
because
does.
We fear them because we've heard about them. We've heard about the big C word.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you something. When you're facing the big C word,
right.
it's not quite so scary when you know who's holding your right
Amen.
Hand.
Amen. Oh, Carol, I just found what you just quoted, Isaiah 41:13. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible, Carol, because
okay.
I think this really needs to be, this is Rhema word right here for someone right now. Isaiah 41:13, that's right, because I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help you. That is for somebody in our listening audience right now, probably somebody that's been given a bad diagnosis. Isaiah 41:13. That's right, says God, because I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help you. Praise God. That's a great word right there.
Yes, it is. And you know, when God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
That isn't a lie.
Amen.
Now, Satan, on the other hand, will say, hey, you know, follow me. I'm the way.
Right.
And yet he will leave you
right.
at the time that you need support the most. You won't get it from him,
right.
nor his people.
Exactly.
And it's easy to sort out who is and who is not of Christ when you're in a crisis.
When you're in a crisis.
Situation.
Exactly, Carol. The ones that are God's people, they're going to run to you, and they're going to help you, and they're going to surround you with prayers and intercession. And people that have just been fair-weather friends, well, they have a hard time when you have a bad diagnosis because they don't know what to say, because they don't have the strength within them to be able to face those things. Fear takes over, you know, and so many people.
They have no concept of what to say to you or how to do it.
Right.
Have to leave the room immediately. They may come in and say, oh, how are you? Oh, gosh, you know, I'm sorry to hear about it. And they're gone.
Yep.
But the
exactly.
ones that, and it will not be people you know necessarily or have had a strong relationship
with. You never
with,
know who it's going
to
be.
Will come to you and say, the Father sent me today.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, for me, it was a ministry to the staff as well as to the doctors that dealt with me. They
right.
were totally baffled by my recovery.
Yes.
Totally baffled. And each one of them, as they began to know me as their patient, would say, there's something different about you. And I said, well, you're working on God's child, so use all of the knowledge you have.
Amen. Carol, in Psalm 18, there are so many times that we feel that our life is all torn to pieces. And I think there might be some people out there listening today who have just been racked by fear and anxiety over their diagnosis or what they feel is wrong with them. And as you were talking just then, I was reminded of Psalm 18, verse 20. In the Message Bible, it says, God made my life complete. This is David talking. When I placed all the pieces before him. When I placed all the pieces before him. You know, you got this piece of fear. You got this section over here. You got this, and this. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. And now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I review the way he works. I try not to miss a trick. I feel put back together. I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. And I would say, Carol, here, that people need to open to God how they're feeling with the diagnosis, how they are, the fears that they have. They need to acknowledge those, or the anxious moments or the times of panic. It's okay to talk about that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. And I sometimes would repeat to myself in the different situations, Psalms 18, and it would be for me, 1 through 3, it says, I love you, O God,
yes.
my strength.
Yes.
My Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer.
Amen.
My God is my rock in whom I take refuge.
Amen.
He is my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies.
Amen.
We
we have got to be able to speak about the fears that haunt us.
Yes.
Whether it be whatever the fear might be. Maybe it's a physical fear. Maybe it's a mental fear. Maybe it's a fear of a failure, whatever it might be. We have to voice that and say, Lord, there's one thing I need from you right now. I need your strength.
Amen.
I don't have the strength to go through this by myself.
Yes.
I'm a weakling. I am a frail of mind individual. I am fearful.
Amen.
Lord, here's my prayer. Would you give me the strength that you have?
Amen.
And let me fall on your strength to gird myself up. And would you send people who would come to me, friends and people I don't know, that have your strength that they can give to me by story, song, music, by their own presence, by their own testimonies and their own foibles that have caused them pain and consternation. I think when we do that, we then open the floodgate of Him sending us the right people.
Amen.
Places, the right times.
Amen. Because the devil...
Go to a doctor that I don't,
yeah,
first of all say, Lord, this is the situation. I mean, recently when I was diagnosed in June with heart issues coming from the chemotherapy and the radiation, and I was with the... had to be to the emergency room and kept overnight there. And I was not fearful. They kept saying, aren't you scared? And the nurses, you know, you're not scared about having this heart problem? I said, no, not. And they said, well, you know, your heart's racing out of control and we've got you on this. I said, I'm at peace. I know where my strength comes.
Amen.
I know that He knows I'm in a situation right now that is difficult. He hasn't walked off and left me. If He were, would you be here? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you one of God's children? And they said, well, yes, I am. I'm such. And they would tell me their story. And I said, why are you here then? Did you answer His call to come to me?
Amen. So God was using those.
If you say no, then you need to leave my room.
And you're just that bold to say those things, aren't
you? Yes, I would. I would not want to knowingly stand, or even unknowingly, stand in the presence of someone when I am ill, or in a room with someone who's ill, and I'm ministering to them, to a non-believer. I had that situation happen to me, getting into the MRI machine upside down, as they put women so they can find your breast and stick all these needles and thing in it. A woman came into the room. She was the tech that was setting me up that day. I felt her presence the minute she walked. I couldn't see her because I was on my tummy upside down. But I felt her presence, and I raised my head up, and I said, the presence of evil has entered this room.
And you felt
who
it.
Just
yeah.
came in. And the doctor looked at me, a young woman doctor, she looked at me, and she said, a tech just walked in. I said, what is your name? She didn't answer me. I said, I ask you, what is your name? She said, my name is Mary. I said, you must leave.
Yeah.
And I sent her out, and she didn't want to go. She got a little feisty with me, and at first she wouldn't go. So the doctor, you know, tried to calm me down and sent me through, started through the machine, and they give you this bulb to press. I was pushing that thing for all I was worth. And they pulled me back out, and this Mary says, you're going to have to be still and get in there. I said, you're going to have to leave the room.
Yeah.
And I then took myself off that laminectomy frame, and I stood up beside my bed, and I said, there's a presence of evil in this room. I will not accept it.
Yeah.
I said, Satan, get thee out of this room. And at that point, they removed her. My doctor realized that I was serious, and she said, you have to leave. And in came a lady with the sweetest smile I think I've seen.
Praise God.
And her name was Mary.
Oh, interesting. Interesting, isn't it?
And, yes. And she said, honey, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm very upset. I was visibly upset.
Right.
I was shaking.
But you were anxious, and the anxiety and
yes,
whatever you were feeling. But see, you do have that. You walk in that discerning of spirits. And so you knew this person was not in their, you know, it was not good for you.
Not
right?
The best for me.
Not the best for you. Right.
And when we understand in our lives
right.
that there are people who walk among
yes.
us, who
yes.
don't have our best interest at hand, we need to be bold enough in Christ to say, step out.
Right.
We need to be bold enough in Christ when someone gives us a death sentence because they say, well, you've got diabetes, you've got heart problems, you've got liver failure, you've got whatever it is. We need to be bold enough in Christ to say, that might be what you're diagnosing me as, but I'm not accepting it.
Amen.
I'm not.
Amen. Yes, I agree. Yes.
I'm leaning on the loving arms of Jesus Christ because we know that when adversity comes to us, it helps us develop patience.
Yes.
It helps us develop maturity.
Right.
It helps us develop compassion, courage, character, and faith.
And all of this comes from the power of his love. And, Carol, I got to play this song, Hillsong, and it is the power of your love. And I believe it's going to say what we have been saying right now, power of your love. That holds us tight when we're going through difficult circumstances. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my good friend, my wonderful friend and cohort here, Carol Wichert from up there in Georgia way.
Yeah.
Carol, I want to read a couple verses from Psalm 103 as we played that song, because you brought up a point here that I think is what we need to focus on as we kind of close out the show today. It is God's great love for us and the way he holds us and takes care of us that sees us through these difficult diagnoses that happen in people's lives, pain, suffering, whatever it is. Psalm 103, David says, "Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. As high as the heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. That's what it's all about. God loves us so much. He's not putting disease on us. But when this world and genetics and disease and germs or whatever the case may be, bad eating habits, whatever, cause disease to happen in our bodies, God loves us so much to send people in our path to help us through that. Right, Carol?
That's correct. I'm looking at your book, Living Large and Loving It.
Yeah.
For those of you who have not read this book, you need to read this book and purchase this book for yourselves, as well as Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, both of them written by Pastor Marsha. And on page 54 in the Living Large and Loving It,
okay,
you go to this paragraph. I accept you at this moment as my healer, my Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
I choose to be healed, every part of me, this moment in time. I walk now in the knowledge that you only want the best for me.
Amen.
That you don't punish me with sickness. It is a lie of the devil. And that I, from this day forward, reject and accept no longer as being even remotely true in my life. I'm the healed one. I know you heal all my diseases and my sicknesses. Thank you, my God, my Jehovah Rapha, for this truth. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All of this I pray. And we need to understand that when the mountains are too tall and they're too heavy, he wiggles his finger and he can move those mountains.
Amen.
Arm can hold up the very universe.
Amen.
And even hold up 5 pounds with our arms outstretched. His eyes can see in the deepest places of our hearts. We don't have that kind of vision. That is the glorious vision that he sees. He knows us because he created us.
Amen.
And he keeps waiting for those of us who don't know him personally to come home, to come back to where he is. We need to rest in the Lord when you're very ill or been given a bad diagnosis, or when the world is just too tight and too heavy for you to share the burdens, and to understand when tragic accidents happen and take your loved ones, when someone's house burns down and they feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. We need to stop, reflect,
amen,
and let God do what he does best, which is to heal us, to lift us,
amen,
up, to carry us in our deepest, darkest burdens.
Ooh.
We need to let him pick us up and carry us. When he loves us, he does everything he can to bring us into a right relationship with him.
Right.
And it's out of our stubbornness and our ignorance and our attitude of I can do it myself that keeps us from the great healing grace, mercy, and of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Carol, well said. And we are talking about physical problems that need healing today, but there are so many emotional things too. And we were really talking about that the last couple weeks on this show, that God wants to heal you physically, but he also wants to heal you mentally and emotionally and set you free from all this. It starts with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Carol, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to repeat each phrase after me, so that if there is anyone in our listening audience today that is not sure of their salvation, that if they died tonight, would they be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? That is the question. If you, dear listener, are not positive of your relationship with God, pray along with Carol as she repeats what I pray right now. Is that all right, Carol?
That's fine.
Okay, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
I acknowledge that I am a sinner.
I acknowledge that I am a sinner.
That I need you.
And I need you.
And I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
And I accept you as my personal Lord and my Savior.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me.
That he took my sins and my sicknesses.
That he took my sins and my sickness.
In his body on the cross.
In his body on the cross.
That I wouldn't have to carry those things anymore.
That I would not have to carry those things anymore.
I see my sin and my sickness on Jesus now.
I see my sin and my sickness on Jesus now.
And I repent of all things I have ever said or done.
And I repent of all things I have ever said or done.
That are not pleasing to you, Lord.
That are not pleasing to you,
I believe,
Lord,
that Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
And that God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
So I am your child.
I am your child.
And you're my Father God.
You are my Father God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer with Carol right now. We want to hear from you. You can contact me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we have our prayer line always. It's easy to reach us. Prayers, PRAYERS, prayers or prayers, however you want to pronounce it, @beaconofhopeministries.com. Send us your requests. There's a lot of people that use that email prayer line now, and we want to hear from you if you have requests. We want to get your request to our prayer team so we can pray and we can get the answer and then have a praise report. All right, Carol, let's talk. Let's sum this up. Let's try to kind of put encapsulated form here what we've been saying for the last, 80 minutes here.
Okay.
Okay. I believe we've made the point that God does not put sickness on people. That comes from the devil, correct?
He does not put sickness on people. He's a restoring God, and he's a loving God. A God that's restoring and loving would not and could not do that.
Okay. So when sickness comes as a result of our own ignorance or genetic things passed down or disease in this world or whatever the cause or the problem that happens in our body where we have sickness, should we just accept it, Carol, and just lay down and go, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to die from this?
I think that's when we should really kick into our reserve spirit and the strength that we garner and gain through working and walking with Christ and say, you're not getting me down.
Amen.
I'm going to walk through this because I will have a testimony. And you can never have a testimony if you haven't had a test.
There you go. Oh, great point. People need to write that down. You can't have a testimony without a test. And Carol, when you were diagnosed a year and a half ago with breast cancer, you did not sit down and say, all right, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here in this chair and die. You didn't do that. You resisted the devil, did you not? You resisted the sickness. You took action. You went to the proper doctors. You did what they said. You went through chemo. You did the things. And God used those things, and now you have a clean bill of health. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the most interesting thing to me was I never one time during the entire time asked this question that most people say, why me? I remember sitting on my front porch and drinking a cup of coffee one morning and just reflecting, and I said, you know, God, why not me? I'm the one equipped to deal with it. I'm the one that knows you personally. I'm the one that is the messenger for you. I'm the one that carries your love and your strength to people. I've done it for so many parts of my life and years that you've sent me on these journeys.
Right.
You didn't send me on these journeys to do it alone.
Right, exactly.
I need help in finding the right doctors. I don't know. I need you to put the word out for me as to whom I should see.
And boy, he did, didn't he, Carol? He opened up the right people, the great doctors. I mean, everything just worked out step by step, did it not?
Yes, even to the nurses.
Right.
Right down to the nurses. A text, even the people at Emory who cleaned the floor, they would just come past me and they would look at me and say, something about you today. And all the radiance of Jesus Christ.
You know, I would that one time that I was able to go with you to Emory last fall, I saw it personally, firsthand, from the time we pulled up and the guy that the valet that took the car. I mean, everybody knew you. Everybody loved you. Everybody had a touch of God through you, Carol. And what a blessing that was for me to watch and to see people in the waiting room that you knew and nurses that loved you and had been blessed by your testimony to them of God's power in your life.
Well, I thought it was an interesting 18 months. Of time there. I'm still going back and forth to Emory, not for the breast cancer, although I still have to be checked every May and, of course, coming up in October. And they will do that for me. But, you know, I take no medication for anything.
Right.
He told me that I was healed. And I knew I was healed.
Amen.
By his stripes.
Amen.
I have been healed. He hung on that cross and took my sins and my iniquities and turned them into a living part of me.
Praise God.
He has changed.
And nobody can make you say, Carol, that you're not the healed one, right?
Nobody. And I know that I'm healed. My body speaks of the fact that I'm healed.
Amen.
My whole countenance speaks of the
fact. Oh, you're getting around good, and you're doing all that.
Energy, even with this heart issue, I have great energy. They're just astounded by the energy that I have. Even when I was in chemo, I used to go into this one doctor whom I just dearly loved. And she was my chemo doctor.
Right.
She would say, "You're supposed to be feeling this way and that way." And I said, "Oh, please." I said, "That's for people who don't know Master."
Amen.
I know him. Let me feel that way.
And, Carol, you grew out a beautiful head of curly hair now.
Curly hair.
From
curly,
straight
curly.
To curly. Wow. I mean, God, that's yes. God's sense of humor, too. I think that's hilarious, too.
And when people see me now with my curly, curly hair, they're like, "Something about you is different. You didn't have that curly hair." And I said, "No, this is a victory symbol."
Amen. Praise God. I want to say to all you in the listening audience, and Carol, get ready to give them one last sentence here of word of encouragement. I want to say to those of you that are suffering and you have a bad diagnosis, Beacon of Hope is here for you. We want to hear from you. We want to pray with you. Write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We will get you on our prayer list. We've seen so many wonderful answers to prayer. Carol, your final word. We got 1 minute.
Well, I think the blessings that we have received are not just his mercy, nor his forgiveness, nor his favor. The most wonderful blessing that we have is that God is with us. It
Amen.
Is the blessing of his presence
Amen.
In our lives. We know that, we feel that, and when we're in circumstances, be it the death of someone we love or a pet or whatever our circumstances, he's with us. He has blessed us with his presence.
Amen. He loves us
and
so much.
How can we not be honored by that?
Amen. It's not far to Jesus. We're on the end, Carol. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's always a joy to be with you. And this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my guest, Carol, from Living the Good Life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Join us next week at 4:30. God bless you.
Safely to inside. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.